This weekend, the Starz cable network presents the U.S. premiere of a 5-part miniseries called Dancing on the Edge. It's set in London in the early 1930s, and it's about a black jazz band confronting and overcoming prejudice and mixing with members of the royal family. RTV critic David Bianculli has this review.
One of my most enjoyable parts of being a critic is steering people towards something so good but so relatively obscure that they might never have checked it out unless they'd been nudged in that direction. My personal best example of that ever was the imported BBC miniseries The Singing Detective by Dennis Potter about 25 years ago. I'm not directly comparing this weekend's new British import, Dancing on the Edge, to that earlier masterpiece, but they have a lot in common. Both are period costume pieces. Both are centered around music and present very full, very unpredictable characters and some exceptionally intriguing performances. Both are about large themes as well as small moments. And one final link between the two. The writer and director of Dancing on the Edge, Stephen Polyakov, has long been considered one of the modern artistic descendants to Dennis Potter. Not a lot of Polyakov's work has made it over here, but what has made the trip has been singularly impressive. His 2003 telemovie, The Lost Prince, was a fact-based drama about a member of the royal family locked away because of his epilepsy. And another TV drama from that same era, Friends and Crocodiles, gave Damian Lewis of Homeland an early leading role as a brilliant but unstable businessman. Polyakov's newest drama, a miniseries made for BBC Two, takes basic facts unearthed by him while researching The Lost Prince and reworks them, mixing historical figures with fictional ones. Dancing on the Edge is about a jazz band in the early 30s, made up of British citizens and American and Caribbean musicians on work visas, trying to crack the dance halls and radio playlists. One man in their corner is Stanley, a white reporter and columnist played by Matthew Good. He writes for Music Express, a new music magazine similar to Britain's influential Melody Maker, and decides to help push the Louis Lester Jazz Band into the winner's circle. But they have to confront reluctant hotel ballroom bookers and, among some of the customers, obvious prejudice. In this scene, Stanley confronts Louis about calmly accepting the attitudes of some of his ruder audience members. Louis is played by Chiwetel Ejiofor, who stars in the new movie 12 Years a Slave.
Nathan told me. When you played here on Christmas Day, some Germans from the embassy walked out as soon as you came on.
Yes, but that was to be expected, wasn't it?
What do you mean that was to be expected? Does nothing make you angry, Louis?
Well, of course it does, but from what I hear, this new lot in Germany, the National Socialists, well, they want to...
String you all up, can't wait to do it. Yes, precisely what they want to do.
Let's just say they don't like jazz music quite a lot, so it was to be expected. Doesn't mean I'm happy about it.
Not happy about it, is that all?
No, it's not. Oh, but it's not clear exactly what one can do about it right at this moment. Why are you suddenly so interested, anyway?
What do you mean, suddenly? It's not suddenly. Believe it or not, I think when one sees intolerance like that, as crude as that, you have to do something to expose it.
And that's going to make a difference, is it? You, Stanley Mitchell, music journalists, are going to make a difference. You're going to get rid of prejudice all by yourself.
I didn't say I'd make a difference. But not right away.
The rise of the Louis Lester Band, in the face of such odds, would be the central spine of most dramas of this type. But Polyakov is up to something bigger and grander. For one thing, he's fascinated by the way some members of the royal family were drawn to jazz music and to black performers with equal enthusiasm. For another, he's interested in what's happening politically between the two world wars. There's also a murder mystery or two, thrown into the mix as a very important ingredient. The 5 episodes, beginning Saturday night on the Starz cable network, are brimming with twists, surprises, delightful set pieces, and some very unexpected performances. John Goodman plays a wealthy American who was very much a part of the British scene in the 30s. And Jacqueline Bisset, as a reclusive aristocrat, is absolutely wonderful. There are parts, too, for Anthony Head from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Jenna Louise Coleman from Doctor Who, and even Janet Montgomery, a British actress who was imported for and wasted in the recent CBS drama series Made in Jersey. Dancing on the Edge will please TV fans who are eagerly awaiting the next round of Downton Abbey, and music fans as well. This isn't period music they're playing and singing in this miniseries. It's just made to sound that way, written by Adrian Johnston. It's a beautiful job. The music has to be good enough to make you root for the Louis Lester Jazz Band to make it big. And as the core of this new TV import, it works. Dancing on the Edge is as much fun to hear as it is to watch.
David Bianculli is founder and editor of the website TV Worth Watching and teaches TV and film history at Rowan University in New Jersey. You can follow us on Twitter at NPR Fresh Air to find out what's coming up on our show and learn more about what's happening behind the scenes. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Amy Salad, Phyllis Myers, Anne-Marie Baldonado, Sam Brigger, Lauren Krenzel, John Myers, Heidi Simon, and Teresa Madden. John Sheehan directed today's show. WHYY's chief content officer is Christine Dempsey. I'm Terry Gross.
This is NPR.